Blog Talk Radio.
Something to put a smile on your face and let you know how much you mean to me. Tell me, love, what is it that you want to do? Sky's the limit. Today, it's all about you. Your wish is my command. I'm gonna hook it up the best I can. You see, you do so much on any given day. So it's time that a little bit of that comes back your way. I just want to let you know that you're special, not just today, but every day. So, God, for bringing you into existence, blessing the world with your beautiful presence, for allowing our paths to align, for you deciding to be all mine. Though it's your birthday, you're my gift, so I have a reason to celebrate daily. I just want to let you know that you're appreciated, that I'll never take you for granted. I'm taking full advantage of this opportunity to let you know how much you mean to me, because this date is truly a date that needs to be celebrated. Want to kiss the hand of destiny for allowing time and space to come into perfect alignment, allowing you to become my reality. We are ever-evolving, harmonious entities, gravitating into each other's realms of infinite, immortal rapture. I inhale your exhale. Your heartbeat reverberates through my chest. Even though it's your birthday, to me, you're my gift. So, happy birthday, baby.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday,
baby, it's your birthday.
Happy birthday, baby, it's your birthday.
Baby, happy
birthday. Happy birthday to you. Special occasion.
evening, everybody. I don't know what's wrong with my throat, but it's trying to act up on me. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk, another segment of Bringing Sexy Back, which is my birthday. Today is my birthday, and me and my good friend, author Terry Lau, whose birthday is tomorrow, we're having a party up in here on Blog Talk Radio tonight. The drinks are free. We have a special drink, the Back to Zero Martini. Hope you guys like that because I served that at my blues joint and they loved it. We have an open buffet, all the food you can eat. And we're just going to have a good old time up here. We're going to give away some books tonight to some lucky listeners, you know, if they answer the questions that we're going to present to them. We're also going to be playing some music and talking. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me and Miss Lyles or something you'd like to talk about us, feel free to do that because, you know, tonight is about me and Miss Lyles, but it's also about you, our listening audience, and, you know, our callers in. So, you know, like I said, if you have a question or something you want to talk about with us, feel free to call in. That number is 646-652-2877. And I'm going to bring in my co-host. Hey, Danny.
Hi. Happy birthday, honey.
Thank you, darling. I also have Miss Terry Lyles, author Terry Lyles on the line. Hey, girl, how you doing?
Hey, baby, how you doing, sweetie?
All right, happy birthday, darling. Thank you. Yeah. We have a callers on the line. I'm going to pull them in and see what's going on with them. I think this is my good friend Terry Cox up here.
Hi, Gail. Happy birthday.
Hi, darling. Thank you.
It's Terry B. Hey, Terry. Authorist Terry Lyle. Happy birthday to you both.
Thank you, please. I'm so happy.
Right, we're going to have a good time up in here. So, you know, like I said, if anybody has any questions or anything they want to talk about, or we can just talk about ourselves. For instance, I'm going to let you guys know that in 2010, October the 9th, a good friend of mine that I grew up with died on my birthday. Okay, she was a character in my first book. She died October the 9th, 2010. 2011, October the 9th, I was at her mother's funeral. Okay. 2012, I was at another funeral and went to the DMV, was held up all day, held hostage in the DMV. This was in 2012, another funeral. And today, believe it or not, I went to another funeral.
My God.
That's been 2010, 11, 12, and 13. Now, these are people that, you know, I grew up with, are people that I've known for a good amount of years, you know, that have gone on. But, you know, it's just so ironic that they, it's my birthday is involved. You know, they're dying, they're dead, you know, and, you know, I'm still here, you know, and I do appreciate that because so many of my friends are dead, you know, or either sick, because at the funeral I saw a lot of my old friends that I grew up with, you know, in the neighborhood and the projects and, you know, went to school with, and, you know, some of them are, you know, sick, you know, but they're still here, and I'm grateful for that. You know, anybody who wakes up on this side of the dirt should be grateful as I am, because every morning that I wake up, I am so grateful, because for real, I one point I died back in 1981, 82, something like that. I did a drug overdose, and they got me to the hospital. I was DOA. So, you know, I'm really not supposed to be here, but God had plans for me. And he took me out of where I was at, and, you know, he has me here. And I'm not all the way to where I want to be, but I'm certainly not where I used to be. And I do appreciate that, you know, because so many people, you know, go through their trials and tribulations and, you know, lose hope and, you know, committing suicide or just, you know, killing themselves, literally killing themselves. And I don't really want to go through that anymore, you know. So he picked me up, dusted me off, and told me, you know, Gail, I gave you a gift. And you go out there and you use that gift, because my gift that God gave me was to write. And I have been writing since the age of 8 or 9 years old. And I had my first book published in 2008 or something like that. But I've just been writing, journaling, you know, just writing poetry, short stories here, there. And my mom died in 1995, and she never got the opportunity to, you know, see any of my books that was published. But she read things that I wrote, you know, because I was always writing little notes and cards, you know, just writing. That's all I did. And I knew that was a gift because I'm not bragging or anything, but I do it well. So that's, you know, that's a little bit about my life, but my life is an open book. So if there's anything that you guys want to ask me or anything you want to know, feel free to ask me, and, you know, I will answer it to the best of my ability. And if I can't answer it, well, I can't. But, you know, there are things in my life that are, you know, personal that I don't choose to talk about, not to the world, you know, but my life is an open book, and I do enjoy, you know, sharing my thoughts and my, you know, my life things with people that are close to me and people that I'm, you know, I can trust, you know, because that's just the type of person I am. I love people, and, you know, the people who love me, I love them, and I know that everybody doesn't love me. And I can handle that, you know, because I'm quite sure there's more people that love me than don't. And I try to love everybody, you know, be fair, honest, and open with everybody. And, you know, I expect people to treat me the way that I treat them, even though sometimes it doesn't always work out like that. But, you know, that's just my motto. And I never look down on a man, not unless I can help him up. You know, how you see some people on the street that are, you know, asking for change. You know, if I have it, I give it to them. You know, and some people say, well, get a job. You need a job. Well, think about it. Everybody has their downfall. Something caused these people to be homeless. Something caused these people to be out on the street begging. You can't just tell somebody that's homeless, you need to get a job. First of all, how are they going to get a job? They have no address. And you go, you know, try to tell them where you live at. You know, you have to really help a person. Don't look down on them. Just give them what you can. If it's 5 or 10 cents, give them that. You know, and you can walk away with a clear conscience. You know, I did at least do my part. And don't worry about what they're going to do with it, because if they're going to get drugs, if they're going to get drunk, whatever they're going to do with it, don't worry about that. You just did your part. I remember one time I was coming home, and this guy, I knew he drank. You know, because he would be in the same spot every day on my way home. So one day he had caught me at the light, and he said, ma'am, he said, I'm not going to lie. He said, I'm an alcoholic, and I need a drink, whatever you can help me out with. And that day I think I gave him $5. But I don't like it when a person comes to me and lie, you know, say something that isn't true. If you tell me you're an alcoholic, drug addict, or whatever, you know, opposed to coming to me lying about something. I'm not saying I'm going to give a drug addict any money to get any drugs, but I'm just saying if you come to me lying, I just can't. I can't handle that. But when he said that, I gave him the money, because alcoholics, they can suffer from DTs. They can actually die from the side effects from alcoholism. And I had a girlfriend who went into the hospital, and she was a mess. She was a mess. She went through DTs, didn't know her name, you know. So never look down on a man unless you're helping him up. So does anybody want to know anything else about me, or should I just play some music? you know, we got to keep, you know, get this party going on up in here now. Don't be shying off.
Gil, well, I have a question for you. This is Terry B.
Mm-hmm.
I am so interested to know, how did you go from your life into the erotica stage?
Into the erotic stage?
Mm-hmm. As far as writing and being involved with other people who write erotica, I'm really interested in that at my age.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being interested in erotica, because I started writing erotica when I was like, I wrote my first erotic short story, I think I was like maybe 18. And the reason why I wrote it was because I was so intrigued with this young guy. And I was journaling different things, you know, about him, you know, basically using my imagination of things that I wanted to happen between him and myself, which they never did. So I just, you know, would write about different things, you know, that we were doing, and, you know, how he was kissing me and doing this to me and that to me. And I would let, you know, other people read it. And they would say, wow, this is really good, you know. So that's what got me into the erotic. And then the fact of the matter, when I was a little bit younger than that, my dad used to bring home these books. Back then they were called, what did they call them? They were the books with the dirty, the nasty stories in them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would find his books. He would be hiding them. And one day I found one, so I was reading it. And, you know, like I said, when I had gotten involved with that, you know, I'm not involved, when I wanted to be with that young man, I just started writing, you know, different things, like I had mentioned before, that I wanted to do to him, what I wanted him to do to me, blah, 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 blah. So that's what had got me into the erotic thing. And then how I think another time I wrote a short story. And this is when I was a little older, and I let my peers at work read it. And now every time I would write something, they would read it, and they'd be saying, girl, what in the world? Well, how do you come up, you know, with these ideas? And I said, well, I don't know. It's in me. You know, I was born to write. Mm. So they would, and then when I would give them another story, they said, well, do I have to get a towel for this one? Because, girl, I was so hot after I read that story. Just tell me, do I need a towel? And to me, when I had wrote a book, my book of Delicious Erotic Short Stories, some of the stories I was writing, I actually was becoming aroused, you know, from the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, like, you know, put it down for a minute because I said, wow, this is arousing me, you know. And then, you know, I would read some other erotic authors' books, and they were very arousing as well, you know. So that's how I got into the into the erotic aspect of my writing, my genre.
Okay.
So, you know, it's fun, too, because you can, you know, you can, I mean, the things that you can write about and the way you want to do things, you know, you can just sit back and, you know, because a lot of times, sometimes my dreams will tell me different things to, you know, put in my book. And, you know, so that's basically how I got into the erotic thing.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, darling.
Smooches.
Huh?
I said smooches.
Oh, thank you. Smooches to you. Someone else has their hand up. Let me bring them in. 3-3-4-4-4-8
Yes, the authoress. I got cut off, and I was going to say something to you when Terry asked you, Terry B., how'd you get from one thing to another? I said, well, you know, birthday girl, she a freak. Tell the truth.
Well, that helps, too. Yeah, that helps. Most definitely that helps because, you know, like I had said, you know, I was wanting to get with that young man. And, you know, so I just began to write about things that, you know, I wanted to do to him and things I wanted him to do to me, you know. So, well, that helps. Yeah, if you're, I like to say have no inhibitions, but I do have a few, but, you know, yeah, that's what I say. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, you know why? Because a lot of people out there, Quasis Kep, you know, some women who want to have the urge to have sex, for some reason, they're turned off. They're not intimate with their mate, you know. They get in, you know, they have sex with a person to get them trapped, and they have to get them, you know. they stop giving them sex, you know. And there's a lot of things going on in people's minds. Whatever has happened in their past got them hostage. They can't perform.
Yeah.
So when someone like me, you, or other people openly express their healthy attraction for sex, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. Right. That is true. But, you know, you got, like I said, you have the people that claim that they don't do these things, you know, because I've met, and I don't like it when people fake things like, well, I never did that. I don't know about that, you know, and those are the biggest, those are closet freaks right there, the
mm-hmm.
ones that always talk about, and then, you know,
no,
especially, but.
Putting in my mouth, ew, what a lot.
Mm-hmm. Especially the older generation. You know, I can understand when you're young, you know, maybe you really didn't do that. But an older person, they know about these things, and they be talking about, well, I don't know that. You know, just like this one older person that I knew, she swore that she did not know that the penis, along with being called the other lot of things, dick, all this and that, she swore she did not know that it was referred to as wood.
Give me a break. Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a break. Like they say, I'm going to lay that pipe, get that wood. You know, come on now.
Uh-huh. She swore she didn't know that it was wood or pipe and, you know, different things like that. And I said, where in the world have you been?
What planet
and
you
as a matter of fact, I think she's my age, if not older than me. You know, and I know, you know, and I could see the fakeness in her when she would say, wood, I never heard that. Oh, yes, you have. You probably heard something else, too, you know, but don't fake it. Don't fake it. Please don't fake it. I can't stand it when you fake it. If you know, you know, and ain't nothing wrong with, if you're a person who like to do what you like to do, it's nothing wrong with that, you know, because if you like to, say if you like to have sex in the yard, that's what you like to do. That's what you like to do.
Or have
you know,
sex
but don't be talking about I never did that before, but I did it on the porch. Whatever. That was outside,
you
know.
Girl, what is the freakiest sexual experience you had, or the weirdest location that you had sex in?
The freakiest and the weirdest location. Let me see. I think it was when. Let me get it straight now. I think it was when me and this guy that, you know, we was in a relationship. He had came to take me for a ride one evening because, you know, generally that's what we do in the evenings. In the summertime, we would just ride down by the water or whatever. He would just ride me around a different little state or whatever. So this particular evening when he came, I was, you know, rushing to get ready, and I didn't put on any underwear. Not intentionally. I really didn't. I had intention of putting them on, but I just put on my a dress. I put on a sundress. And, you know, didn't put any underwear on. So we, you know, we're riding around. And so the next thing I know, he was like, you know, feeling my legs, because that's what we do in the car, touchy, kissy, all
mm-hmm.
this old kind of stuff. So then he opened my legs and goes between my legs, and, you know, so I'm getting hot. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, when we're, so I unzipped his pants and started, you know, masturbating him. And then I linked over and started giving him oral while we were driving, you know, down the road. And the strangest thing, I think we had drove to Baltimore. Did we go to Baltimore that night or Richmond? I think we went to Baltimore or Richmond. So while I was down there, you know, this big truck is driving, not a big truck, but this SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Was driving by, and you know they could see down in the car because his car was kind of low,
right?
And so the guy was looking over because I was peeping up at him, and he was looking over, and he was smiling. So I just, you know, put my head back down. So then I got all the way up, and they had pulled, you know, well he had pulled up in front, and then I saw a head come up out of his lap. That's why he was smiling. So we wasn't the only one. We wasn't the only one, you know, on the road that night doing what we was doing. But I think that's the strangest place. And I think that's it.
All
you know,
right,
I've done it.
Amen.
Yeah, I've done it other places, but I think that's the strangest and the, you know, freakiest thing I've did. Cause I've
have you done anything on your birthday?
What did I do on my birthday?
Today, have you done anything around? I'm sorry, this is Danny. I was asking a question. Have you done anything today on your birthday?
My friend Bob, and I'm quite sure you girls know who Bob is. Bob may, you know, make an appearance tonight. But, you know, it's all good. You know, it's all good.
Okay.
You know, because I did, you know, like I said, I went to a funeral today, and then my daughter and my sister, we hung out for a minute. We went out to eat and, you know, had a good time. We generally have a good time laughing and giggling and, you know, just having a good time. And came home and, you know, got a few calls on the phone, and Facebook is blowing up, and, you know, so that's it.
Is there anything that you haven't done erotic that you want to do, or any fantasies? Have you filled all your fantasies, or do you have any fantasies that you would like to
fulfill? Oh, yes, darling. Yes, I do. I have a fantasy. I want to be driven around in a limousine, right? Me and whoever I'm with at this particular time, I want to be driven around in a limousine while we're in the back and he's eating me out, and I want the driver to be watching in the mirror. I've had a fantasy like that for so long until it's not funny. But it might happen one of these days. I don't know. But that's been a fantasy of mine. And a fantasy that I had fulfilled was I wanted to be penetrated while being ate out at the same time. And I had that fantasy fulfilled. And it wasn't with two men, but it was with Bob and a man. Y'all know who Bob is. But I'm telling you, that was just, huh?
And Bob a man too?
Who Bob is?
Y'all don't know who Bob is?
No,
I don't know who Bob is.
I don't know who Bob is.
Bob.
Oh, my goodness. Wait a minute. Don't y'all tell me y'all don't know who Bob is.
I don't know who Bob is.
Tell me. Is he the dildo man?
Come on, ladies. Y'all know who Bob is. Think about it. Just think of Bob.
Is that the dildo man?
Bob is a battery-operated boyfriend. Hello. I'm going to kill y'all.
My God.
it was Bob and you know, a guy. And, you know, when I had expressed that fantasy to, you know, a few guys, you know, I took a little poll on it. And, you know, they would say stuff like, well, in order for that to happen, one of the guys would have to be gay. So I said, why would one of them have to be gay? Said, because he didn't want his dick rubbing up against another man's dick, and while his face was down there, and some crazy stuff. So I said, wow. And I think I asked maybe about, I took a poll about 10 men, and all of them but one said the same thing. And the one that said what I had in mind, I was shocked when he said it, because I'm saying, wow, he knows something, because that's how I had planned it, you know, with Bob and with a guy, because there's no way that I couldn't even imagine myself being with two men for any reason, and I've never had that fantasy of being with two men, you know, even though some women, you know, had that fantasy, but that's one fantasy I've never had. But, so me and Bob and this young man, we got it on, and it was fantabulous. I mean, it was really a mind-blowing feeling going through that, because he was, like, moving it just right, and it just felt like the real deal, you know, because this guy actually knew what he was doing. Wow.
You
know, so yeah,
you know,
I've
I did
that
one time. Quiet as it's kept.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how did it feel
LA
to you?
Well, I lived in L.A. at the time, and you know we live in L.A., everything's open.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really good friend who is still my friend, very good friend. He always liked me, but I could not really have a relationship with him because he was in the business of selling chemistry stuff.
Oh,
and so I really could not have, you know, because I would have been scared of stuff like that. I said, no, I can't be, no, mm-mm. So my best girlfriend, we decided we were going to go to this hotel. And I said, well, we got to get my girlfriend. I said, because I can't, you know, I'm, mm-mm. So we went and picked up my girlfriend, and it was me and him and her, just the three of us. And boy, oh, boy, did we have a good time in there. And this is the absolute truth. That's,
wow.
That was back in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, when I lived in L.A., I lived out there 8 years. And, I mean, I've seen and done some things that didn't even know existed.
Well, I lived in San Diego.
Wow.
I did the same thing you just
and
said.
And it was great. It was fun. It was exciting. I'm an adventurer. You know, I'm like, hey, I'll do anything once. And that was my very first time of even thinking about doing something like that, but I did it.
Mm-hmm. So you was involved in a menage a trois.
Anybody listening? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's something
that
else
fun.
That I. The only reason why I can't do a menage a trois is because I'm selfish and I just can't. I don't want to share. I'm greedy.
See, that didn't bother me. Sharing with him, you know, I didn't care about him.
Bother me
that either. Like that.
Right.
It was fun though. My first and only time I ever did that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling it like it is. So it's out there.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that, girl. We all adults here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Way adult.
Now, Miss Terry, what is the freakiest thing you did and where?
Well, there's too many things to count.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you a couple
right.
of things. Been in a tractor trailer, getting a guy here going down the road.
What did that?
Been in menage a trois before with male and female. I've
mm-hmm.
been with two guys before. You know, when I used to work for the fire department as a paramedic, the call little box in there where the table and the calls come through, and the person
mm-hmm.
it's called the watch desk, and
mm-hmm.
they had the ambulance in the firehouse, you know, and the engine on the other side. I cut a hole in my pants and put some Velcro so I can close it back up. I got eyes laughing. I was getting my finger on, sitting on the lap. All came for a call. I just got back on the ambulance and did my thing. Man,
that
wasn't
with the patient, was it?
Yeah.
Was that with the patient, Terry?
So before I went and got the patient, I was at the firehouse.
Wow.
I'm like,
that is something.
Oh, boy.
Well,
let me give a tissue.
Well, Danny, it's your turn now. Where did you do the most freakiest thing, and what was the freakiest thing you did?
I did a threesome with a father and son.
Oh, man.
All right.
Wow.
I can tell you that was the best threesome I ever had
Ooh.
In my life.
Wow.
It was great.
Wow.
It was awesome. So that would be my
wow.
freakiest thing I've ever done.
Wow.
Hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. Explain it to me because, you know, other people, whether it's male or female or two guys, that's different because they are not together. But a father and son, well, who was digging on you the most, the father?
Well, the way that it happened, it was me and the son. We were never like a couple, so we were just, you know, we were sex buddies. And it happened to be his dad's birthday. His stepmom and his sister went away.
Mm.
And it was just him and his dad home, and I went to the bar, and you know, we had drinks. Of course, alcohol played a part in this, but you know, I wasn't drunk, so I definitely knew how it went down. When we got back to the house, me and his son did whatever we started to do, and we had our little session. And I was laying there, and he came in, and he was just like, "How about you give my dad some head?" So I started laughing because I thought he was playing. I'm like, "Yeah, well, all right, whatever." He was like, "Yo, give my dad some of that birthday head." I was like, "Nah, you playing." So his dad came in and was like, no, he's not playing. I was like, oh, wow. Y'all just gonna corner me like that? Okay. All right. Well, who want to go first?
Wow.
So daddy said, I go first. And I can honestly say at that time I was 23. when that happened. I was 23 when that happened. And I can honestly say his dad did the same thing. I can honestly say that if I had to choose who was the better in bed, I would have to say as far as head, giving me oral sex, it was his dad.
As far as looking-wise,
it was the son. The son definitely had more stamina than his dad when it came to that. But far as head game, yeah, his dad was the best. It was a great time.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Well, I, at one point when I was locked up in West Virginia, it was co-ed, and we could have a male partner, but we couldn't touch them. You know, we could sit next to them, we could talk to them and all this kind of stuff. So this one guy, his name was Sugar Bear, I'll never forget him. He was digging on me, right? And they had places, it looked like a great big giant college campus because it was somewhere way up in the mountains. If you ran away, you'd get lost in the animals or whatever, probably would eat you up before you got found. So they had places where you can go, girls would hook up with the guys and they would have sex. Even a few girls got pregnant while they were down there. And this one guy, like I said, Sugar Bear, he was liking on me. So we was in the library, all of us were sitting in the library at a table. And he told me the same thing that guy who, whatever he had, I had on a pair of sweatpants, he told me to cut a hole in them, don't wear no underwear. Cut a hole in my sweatpants. So we're sitting at the table, and he was playing with my pussy. And when I came, I just had to sit there stone faced, you know, like wasn't nothing happening. And I said, oh, my God. And then find out the girl who was sitting, she was sitting like next to my boyfriend, I say. She was sitting next to him. She was doing the same thing to her boyfriend. And another, you know, we're sitting around the round table. Do you know when she was, you know, jacking her boyfriend off, when he came, she brought her hand from underneath the table and put it in this girl, put it up to this girl's face for her to look at. I said, oh, my God, why is she doing that? But, I mean, it was so wild, the things that was going on in that prison till it wasn't funny. And they had, the men, they had a cottage. It was like four cottages of men and two cottages of women. And we was being transferred out because they had some riots in Alabama, in a jail in Alabama. So they had to move the males around. And they were transferring us to Kentucky, the women to Kentucky. On that last night, Sugar Bear had told me to come up to his unit. And, you know, everybody dressed alike. They dressed us like in pea coats and, you know, the male pants. And, you know, everybody just dressed alike. And you had these toboggans you put on your head. I put a toboggan on my pea coat and pulled the collar up and walked in there. When the guys walked in there, they had me in between them. And I put my head down so when I walked past the guard's desk, he wouldn't look at me. And Sugar Bear had his own room because when you be locked up for a certain length of time, you get your own room with a key. So we in the room. And I was so nervous. I was nervous, more nervous than a hoe in church. Lord have mercy. I kept saying, come on and come, because I wasn't even wanting to come. I just wanted him to come so I can get up out of there, because if I got caught, that means when I went to the next prison, I would be locked down for, I don't know, forever or whatever, because the girls who got pregnant, they had put them on lockdown. So anyway, when he finished, I didn't go back out the same way I came in. What I did, he let me out the window. And the screen, when the screen made this loud noise, I flew down the hill. And as soon as I got to my unit, this girl comes and she said, where'd you come from? That's when I used to smoke. He'd give me a pack of cigarettes. So I said, from the commissary. So I turned around and showed her the cigarettes, right, because I knew she was one of those girls that tell everything. So when I went inside, and I had my underwear in my pocket. I didn't even put my underwear on. I just put them in my pocket when I left. Went inside, this girl, Bridget, she had the biggest hickey on her neck. And like I said, if you get caught doing anything like that, they lock you down. So she running from everybody's cubicle so the guard wouldn't see the hickey on her neck. But, yeah, that was another place that I, and I swear, that was just so adventuresome, you know, the things they did in that prison. Because every morning before breakfast, Bridget and her boyfriend would go down, because they had a church, and would go down by the church, and it's these high walls. And the guards wouldn't really be out that time of morning, because we would go to breakfast maybe about 4 o'clock in the morning, and it's dark out. And they would be, like, maybe in the chow hall. So she'd be down there every morning getting her freak on, every morning. But I did that one time with Sugar Bear, and I told him, no more, never again would I do that, because I did not want to go from one jail. You're already locked up when you're in jail, then they're going to lock you down. Mm. No. But that was just a little bit of an adventure that I had did when I was locked up.
Fabulous.
Because if you're in a jail and it's co-ed, there are ways that you're going to have sex. You know, you're going to get it. So they can tell you all they want not to, you know, it's not okay to touch and all that kind of stuff. But in the jail that I was transferred to, which was in Kentucky, they let you at least hold hands with your partner, but, you know, they say no touching and all that kind of stuff. And women were getting pregnant down there when they was locked up, because another girlfriend of mine, she got pregnant while she was locked up, you know. So, but, yeah, that was an adventure. That was back in the 80s.
We did a lot in the 80s.
Mm. It was a good decade.
Yeah, it was something back then, you know, but
disco era.
Yeah, really, it really mm-hmm. was, you know, but
wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, them were the good old days, you know.
Yeah,
you just think back on it, you know, the good times that you had and who you was with and, you know, all the fun you had. Because mm-hmm. there was a lot of the guys that was at the funeral today. Some of those guys had crushes on me and didn't tell me until, you know, we were grown. And by that time, they was either married or, you know, I was with somebody or whatever. But and this one guy I saw today, his name, I had a crush on him so bad back in the day. His name was... I hope ain't nobody listening that knows him, but I ain't going to say his name anyway, cause in case somebody listening. But I had a crush on him, and I saw him today. And, you know, it was like, oh, my goodness, I wish I could have got with him back then, you know. But, you know, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But, you know, a lot of guys had told me over the years that they had crushes on me, and I said, well, why you ain't never tell me? Because my brother was very protective of me coming up.
Me too.
And and I was wondering why a lot of guys, because when one guy told me, he said, I had a crush on you. I said, why you ain't sitting on? He said, because they call my brother Bun. He said, because Bun told me that my sister is off limits.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of the guys wouldn't even say nothing to me. And I was wondering why I was the only one who never had a boyfriend from where I was living at in the project. He done told everybody I was off limits to them.
Yeah, yeah. My brother did the same thing to me. Same thing.
I said, oh, my goodness.
Same thing.
But it was a good thing. You know, it was a good thing because he knew how his friends were, you know, so I guess he more or less was looking out for me because, you know, they was doing all kind of things back in, you know, in their youth, you know.
Gil, can I tell you a situation that happened to me with one of my brother's friends, and then I'm not going to say nothing else.
Sure.
My brother's a musician, and he had a group, and all of the guys in the group, you know, we all knew each other and everything, but I wasn't, you know, I was off limits. I wasn't allowed to go out with them or do anything, but at one point I was their coordinator. Like, if we went to a gig and they went to a hotel and stuff, I would get all their uniforms, and I would have my own room, but they would have to share a room. And I would make sure all their uniforms are out, find out what they were going to wear. You know, I put everything together. But when I lived in L.A., one of the guys in his band, his name was John, very nice guy. He had broken up with his girlfriend, and me and my daughter, I had my own place and with my daughter. She was grade school at that time. And so he came over, and he said, Terry, I broke up with Debbie. He said, would you mind if I just stayed over here one night? So I said, no, you know, he was like my brother. So he stayed up, honey, he stayed over there a year. But anyway, he came over for one night.
Wow.
And he stayed over. Nothing ever, ever, ever happened. But my point is, years later, he told me, see, I used to have a habit of, when I worked, I would put on my bedclothes, my bathrobe at like 10:30, at 11 o'clock, news come on, I'd watch the news, and then after that, I would go to bed. Well, I noticed that every night he would come in after 11, but it didn't bother me because he's a grown man, he could do what he wants. He was paying his rent every week. So
he came in every night at 11. So years later, he told me, he said, you know what? He said, I think I can tell you now. He said, I always liked you. I always had a crush on you. He said, and I don't know if you noticed, he said, but every night when I was staying at your house, he said, I would never come in before 11 o'clock because all I could think about was that pink bathrobe you always wore. And I never thought about that. You know, mm-hmm. I would put on my bathrobe and walk around, and it just never dawned on me that he was looking at me at that type of thing. Well, there was no way he could ever say anything to me because my brother would have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you know, years later, like you said, you know, never knowing that he liked you, he said, I always liked you. He said, but I could never say anything.
I
said, you poor thing.
Oh,
my brother would have killed him.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
Yep. That's just how my brother was. So, I, you know, all the guys, they, you know, we were talking all this and that, but, you know, they ain't trying to do nothing else but talk. You know, how
and
you doing?
And that's a good
and,
thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, my brother, he knew the type of friends that, you know, he had,
mm-hmm.
you know, the type of guys they were. And, you know, and the guy that one of my brother's friends, we had hooked up. But this was when I was grown. I think we had hooked up when I was like in my, I was 23, something like that, 23, 24. We had hooked up. And when we had hooked up, my brother said, what's going on with you and, I don't want to call his name, what's going on with you and so-and-so? So at first we was just, you know, going out because he was just coming around and, you know, taking me wherever I wanted to go and all this and that. So that's what I told him. So he said, oh, okay. So then when we really, you know, hooked up and all this whole kind of stuff, I just was, you know, thinking, hope and say, well, I hope my brother don't, you know, get all upset and all this whole kind of stuff. But he went on accepting because I was, you know, an adult and I had, you know, I think, yeah, I had both my kids. So, you know, he finally accepted it. But we was in, you know, a relationship. That's the guy I was in a relationship with 13 years with, you know,
wow.
So. Then a few times we had went through some changes and him and my brother got into it, you know, well, you know, man, I think maybe you need to leave my sister alone. And he telling my brother, well, I love her and, you know, this and that. And it was just a mess. But, you know, that's
yep.
how brothers are.
Yes, they are.
You know. But we're going to take a little break and I'm going to play a song here by my baby daddy. Everybody know who that is, but here we go. Be right back.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm trying to talk to somebody. My husband is about 96 years old.
Uh-huh.
And when he die, I plan to bring him down there to y'all.
Uh-huh.
And we just want to make sure that his casket is comfortable. And we want to bring him down there and let him try out some caskets and see which one that'll look nice on him.
Okay, you all just want to come in and look at them?
I know I want him to. He wants to lay in them and then see which one feels the best to him, because he's going to be down there for a long time.
Okay, now who am I speaking with?
Bernice Williams.
Miss Williams?
Yes.
Okay, he can't lay in them, Miss Williams, but we can let him look at them.
Well, why can't he lay in them? Because, see, he got to get something that he's comfortable with. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, we looking at a couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks? You think he'll die in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I really think so. And he wants to come down there and lay in some caskets and stuff. And, you know, I think it'd be nice. I'm just trying to fulfill his wishes.
Okay, well, if you want to come down and look at some, and maybe you can put his hand on them and feel them and see what they feel like.
Well, what they feel like?
Well, most of them have springs in them, normally like a mattress.
No, I don't want them to bounce up out of there, because, see, when them aunts come here from out of town and they get the rocking that casket and he bounce up out of there,
mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you going to run folks out to church.
Well, what church are you going to?
Well, we don't know, because he in between churches right now. He in between New Hope and New Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know where we're going to have the funeral yet.
Oh, okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, do y'all do flowers?
Yes, ma'am. We don't do them, but we can order them for you.
Well, we want to put the family flower in the casket. Because,
on the inside of the casket?
Yes, it don't make no sense for the flower to be on the outside, then he can't smell them.
Well, you know, you can't put them on the inside of the casket. You could take a couple of them off and put in there.
We want to put all of them in there. If you take all of them off and put them in the bottom.
Well, if that's what you want to do, you can do that.
And what else do y'all put in the casket?
Nothing, just...
Because he got a little radio that he listens to all the time. Can you put it on the gospel station and cut it on before they bury him, where he can have his gospel music and things, and put like a pitcher of water in there and some cups?
Yes, ma'am. You can put
some,
that in there if you want to.
And he loved them little Debbie brownies with the peanuts on the top. Put some of them in there. Because we just want him to be comfortable.
Do you think he's going to wake up and eat that stuff?
Well, you know, he said that when he dead and things, he, I don't know, hell. Don't start me to lie.
Okay.
I just want to put a lot of stuff in there just in case he do. Do any of them ever wake up?
No, ma'am, they don't wake up.
Well, you won't know if they're out there on the ship. Well, listen, do y'all go back and dig them up and check on them and make sure they're all intact and stuff?
No, ma'am.
Well, who y'all got down there this week?
About 9 people.
Because, see, we want to look at some funerals and see how y'all work. What's the next funeral y'all having?
Wednesday.
And who is there?
Miss Crenshaw.
Lord, they didn't even tell me Miss Crenshaw is there. Is that the one from our New Pilgrim?
No, it's not.
Oh, which Crenshaw was this?
From Bethel Baptist.
Oh, you talking about, oh, Lord Jesus. What happened to her?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought there was the other Miss Crenshaw. I hollering, but I ain't like her anyway, because she keep up so much mess in the church. Okay, then, we're going to come down there, and y'all going to let him lay in the casket?
Yeah, you can put him in there.
Well, thank you. What's your name, sugar?
Ida.
Okay, Ida.
All right.
Bye-bye.
call.
That was Ricky Smiley. Arrangement. He is so crazy. He is just crazy for no reason. Okay. Before that was Salt and Pepper Push. At the top was My Baby Daddy, Smokey Robinson, Going to a Go-Go. Yeah, so we're right back here at this party for me and my girl, authoress Terry Lyles. And we're discussing a little bit of our lives and, you know, letting it all hang out because we, you know, we're grown folks here. And, you know, hopefully everybody who's listening is grown. If you're not grown, don't blame us, you know, because my show does let everybody know it's for adults only. And if you're not 18, oh, well. So, let's see. What do you want to, Terry?
Say what?
What would you like to talk about now? We talked about the erotic stuff. Let's see.
I just like to talk about things that we're grateful for because, you know, having a birthday to be blessed to be here another year.
Oh,
you
no
know,
doubt.
We've lived a full life. We did a lot of things. And, you know, just some of the things that you're grateful for. And one of the things that I'm most grateful for is that when I had that bad accident in a tractor trailer, and I flipped over and rolled down that hill in the truck about four or five times. They had to cut me out, and I'm still here, you know, with my right mind. I might be living in pain every day and going through that, but I think God has a purpose, or why would I be here? You know, so I'm just grateful to see another birthday and share it with you. And, you know, I just want to reflect on what you're grateful for.
Okay. Well, what I'm grateful for is that I have, you know, people who love me and people who care about me. And, of course, Terry, you are definitely one of them.
Yeah, I got love for you, sis.
I know that's right. You most definitely do. Danny and Terry B, you know, and a lot of other people that I've, you know, friends on Facebook. You know, I know a lot of them I haven't met, but some of them that I have met, you know, I got love for them. I got love for everybody, as a matter of fact, because I'm so grateful, you know, that I am here. You know, I woke up this morning. I didn't have to, you know, it could have been my time, you know. And, you know, I'm grateful that I have some food in the refrigerator. I'm grateful I have a roof over my head. I'm grateful I got a little hoopty, you know, even though it's broke down right now. But, you know, some people don't even have a hoopty to break down. You see what I'm saying? So I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for my family, you know, my sisters and my brothers, my nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts. You know, I don't have any uncles left, you know, but I have two aunts left. And, you know, just grateful that I was blessed with, you know, my mom when she was here on earth, my mom and dad. And, you know, even though sometimes we had our ups and downs, as in any family, you go through some little trials and tribulations, being rebellious, because I was rebellious. I'm not going to lie about that. And, you know, just wanting to do what I wanted to do, not seeing that my mother was really, you know, trying to make me realize some of the things I was doing I shouldn't be doing them. But I felt, you know, that these things that I wanted to do, like I wanted to hang out, you know, go to the parties with my girlfriends and hang out, you know, and, you know, do things that they was doing, and she didn't want me to do things that they was doing. But, you know, you don't want to be the one, you know, somebody, you know, teasing, saying, well, I know you ain't going to be able to go. Your mother ain't going to let you go. So I would say to myself, she ain't got to let me go. I'm going to go anyway, you know. And because I'll never forget the time when I had went to a party. My mom had told me that I couldn't go to the party, but my girlfriend, you ain't going to be able to go. So I'm saying to myself, yeah, I'm going to go. And I went to the party, got home 2 o'clock in the morning. I knocked on the door because when she locked that screen door, you can't get in the other door. So I'm knocking on the door 2 o'clock in the morning. She come to the door. She said, where you been? I said, at a party. She said, oh. Well, I tell you what, you go back to that party because you're not coming up in here this time of the morning. That night, I slept in a laundry room somewhere. I don't know where I slept that night, but I did not sleep in my house, in my mother's house that night. You know, so, and these kids now that are being disrespectful to their parents and not listening to them, you know, and it took me growing up, you know, having my own children and, you know, going through the little trials and tribulations that I went through with my kids and realized that, you know, my mom was doing things that was for my better. But, you know, when you're young, you want to, you know, fit in and, you know, be with your friends and all that kind of stuff. And some of the things that my mom didn't let me do, I didn't do, you know, and I'm really glad at that, because looking back over at a lot of my friends, like I said, they're either dead or they're sick. They're on medication and, you know, just sick. And see, I haven't had, I've never been on medication, you know, for high blood pressure. I don't have any of those ailments or problems. I was in a car accident in 2005, and my knee got messed up, and I was on pain medicine for maybe a couple of days because I couldn't deal with it, you know, taking that. They put me on Percocet, and I took that Percocet, and I had all types of nightmares, and it was just horrible. But, you know, I try not to, you know, induce medication into my body.
Right.
Excuse me.
You know, earlier you was talking about people that's homeless. You know, if you see somebody, give from the heart, you know, and
right.
just treat them. You know, a lot of people, like, today's your birthday, tomorrow's my birthday, and we've been here a couple of decades already. You know, we've seen a lot of things, and I must admit, even part of my life when I didn't want to do right, I was homeless because, you know, sometimes you're rigid and you don't want to tell people your circumstance. But one thing I do know, I remember I was driving one time, and I turned off this exit, and this guy, he was clean, his pants and his shirt. It was a white man, like he's probably about middle 40s, you know, and he had a sign that said, "I'm willing to work for food." That impressed me so much, I pulled over. I had $20. I said, "Sir, I got $20, but I need to keep $5 for my gas tank." And I gave that to him because this appeared to be a guy who probably was bigger up in the business world, you know, had a title. And he just seemed like somebody who lost it all. And to humble yourself to work for food, and you know, that kind of like gave me chills, you know, because he wasn't asking for money. He wanted to work for food. And that impressed me because he wasn't trying to look scrungy or looking nasty, try to impress somebody with his circumstances. You know, he was still trying to maintain his dignity, and I kind of felt that, you know. And I hope that made a difference in his life, because you never know, people out there, they're giving up, you know. Some people committing suicide. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday, talking about her friend committed suicide, hung himself, but because he was joking about it all the time, they didn't never think he was going to do it. But he lost his financial standing, had a family, children, and he couldn't hang on. So he went and locked himself up in the guest house and everything. His wife heard a thug, you know, and found out he hung himself, you know. So it's hard, you know, for us who get these birthdays. It's a blessing every day to see a birthday, because a lot of people give up because life is rough. For everybody, everybody got a story to tell. Everybody has been through some things, but we're soldiers, the ones who hang in there through the drama.
Right. Right, that is the truth. Because, you know, like you had just mentioned, people give up, you know, and they kill themselves or, you know, just give up. And, you know, I can understand a person who's, you know, been through so much until they just can't take it no more, and they just say, you know, I'm done. You know, but sometimes you have to,
One time myself, I was at a low point in my life, and I felt that too. And I felt like, you know, it was just so much going on in my life, I just wanted to give up. I felt like nobody cared, nobody loved me enough. And it was like, why me? And I told my mother, you know, I was over her house in the basement. I said, you know, I don't even need to be here because my life is a mess. You know, and when people talk to you, and you can tell when somebody is really hurting. That particular night, my mother, she cried and she stayed up and kept trying to tell me reason why I should hang on. But I think had not been for her, I might have checked out too, because you never know how fragile feelings are and what somebody's going through. When you try to do the right thing, you try to get to the next level, and something keep happening bad. You know, sometimes it's too much, and you need to have somebody in your life to see the warning signs. Like my friend said she should have known when she went to this guy's house, the shades was always down. He was always in his robe and everything. And that's the thing that we should tell our listeners. When you see people that you know, they're not in their norm, you know, check them out. Talk to them. See
right.
if they, you know, because you never know.
Right, that is true. They have a change of habit. You know, something's
mm-hmm.
going on. You know, so it's best to check on them. Because sometimes all a person needs is somebody to listen to them. You know, or somebody will just listen to them or, you know, maybe give them a hug or, you know, say something nice to them. You know, maybe that's all people need at times when they can't get that from anybody. So they just feel like, well, you know, nobody cares for me, nobody loves me, so I'm just going to check out. And they go somewhere, the next thing you read in the paper, so-and-so done hung themselves, or so-and-so done jumped off the bridge, or so-and-so done blew their brains out. You know, you hear all those types of things. So, you know, it's nothing wrong with, you know, being nice to people, because as I also had mentioned in the beginning, you know, if you're going to look down on a man, try to help him up. You know, just don't look down on a person, you know, because they're down and out, because that could be you. And by this government close shut down, a lot of people are going crazy. You hear me saying where they, you know, because they don't have they don't have any money saved up, and they're wondering when they're going to go back to work. So everybody's a paycheck from being homeless. And at one point, I was homeless with two babies at one point, you know. And you know, it's not fun. It's no fun. And you need to, you know, look at a person and try to, you know, be more so a little bit more sympathy for them, opposed to somebody saying, oh, he need to get a job. Oh, come on. How is somebody going to get a job with no address, you know?
Yeah.
And then a person who's hygiene, if you're living on the street, 9 times out of 10, you probably, your clothes are dirty, you may even have bugs, you have a smell and all this and that, and people just can't walk up somewhere and say, well, I want a job.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And,
you know, Gail, I was wondering, is it okay if I read one of my poems about being homeless? I wrote this
sure.
in my book called Wow, and I've been there too, but I was homeless for the wrong reasons. When I was doing no good and living in California, distributing drugs, you know, because I wanted to live the high lifestyle and have all the easy, fast money. When feds started looking for me, I had to hide out, and, you know, and I learned to appreciate homeless people, because before I used to think I was better than them because I had financial status. I was had a home, nice car, you know, clean, had all the resources, you know, and then when I had to become part of their element so I can duck and dodge from the police, you know, I learned to appreciate them and realize that everybody is not homeless because they are useless or lazy. Some people lose
right.
their jobs. They could become
right.
homeless. Some people get sick and they can't work. They become homeless. So, you know,
right.
I had to reevaluate why people are homeless. But this poem is called Being Homeless. Being homeless can happen to any man. And because of my story, I know that it can. Lost without shelter and nowhere to go, my daily struggle is the only thing that I know. I lost my job, then my home went next. Things were bad so quickly, I thought I was hexed. When you look in my eyes, please don't see a bum. Just see the worst that my life has become. I only wish I knew how to get back on my feet. My life is so bleak that I feel the defeat. It's hard to be hopeful when you've lost all you've had. Today inside, I only feel sad. I survive on handouts as the people pass me by. I smile thank you while inside I cry. I've heard that brighter days are coming, and I hope that they will, because right now being homeless is all that I see. Opportunities pass because of economic loss. Can't even build on the skills that I have been taught. My clothes are tattered and worn straight through, no longer providing warmth, not even my shoes. I huddle up so tight, trying to keep myself warm. No space in the shelter, living-type dorms. The weather is threatening to be really bad. A plastic bag to cover me is all that I had. But I'm not discouraged, and I look straight ahead. Tomorrow might be my chance to secure me a bed. So today, when I arise and look all around, I hope a warm bed is there to be found. I'm down on my luck, and this thing is true. Remember, my story could easily happen to you.
Now, that's the truth. That is the truth, because like I said, everybody's one paycheck from being homeless. And after this this government shutdown thing, just see how many people are going to be living on the street.
Exactly.
You know, and they don't care, you know, and they're trying to blame it all on Obama, Obama this, Obama that. But the real picture is this stuff was festering long before Obama got in to
office.
Exactly. You know, but they just using him as a scapegoat, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be an intervention. And that's going to be by God, because, man, he done messed things up so bad until it's nothing that they can't straighten nothing out.
Exactly.
Everything else, everything has gone straight to hell. So, you know, it just has to be an intervention, and it has to be an almighty intervention.
Yeah, it's a sad set of events when the government shuts down. That just sounds ludicrous. How the hell the government going to shut down?
Well, that's
you know,
what they did, darling, you know. And Congress, the congressmen, they're still getting paid.
Exactly. They need to stop getting
they're
paid.
Getting paid.
Mm-mm.
You know, but it's that's just how it is. It's sad, but, you know, we all got to suffer behind it because, you know, even people who don't work for the government are feeling it, you know, because people who... The shops and the stores that the people were shopping at, they're not getting that revenue from the people who was visiting their places at lunchtime and, you know, buying little things from their store. You know, everybody was affected by it, not only the government workers. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So for somebody to sit back and say, well, it ain't affect me, I don't care, you got to care. You know,
exactly.
You got to care. Check on your neighbor and see if they need some food. You know, if they need a ride somewhere, something you can, you know, help somebody, especially the elderly people, because every time something happens to the elderly, they definitely suffer. You know, they can't get their medication, they can't do this, they can't do that. And next thing you know, you read where, you know, somebody just died in their home because nobody knew they was in there, didn't know they didn't have any food. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, you know.
Or freeze to death in the wintertime.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty sad. But you know something? I would like to give one of the third callers that call in a choice of one of my books. I have 8 books, and here are the titles. The first book is Brown Bag Poetry. The second book is Wow, Window of Wisdom. The third book is Say It Ain't So. Fourth book is Speechless. Fifth book is Forgiveness. Sixth book is Confession. Seventh book is Peeling Back the Mask. Book number 8 is Insane, and they all are about real-life situations. You know, I'm very transparent in my way of writing so that it can prick the heart because, you know, we all have been through something, and I just try to tell your story and tell my story, and I just try to keep it real. But for whoever called in a third caller, you know, you tell me which one you want. I'll ship it to you ASAP tomorrow.
Yep, so everybody out there, the call-in number is 646-652-2877, and author Terry Lyles is giving away free, now I know you like that word free, a book of hers, the book of your choice. She has 8 books, and I have the book Insane, and I'm telling you, it's a very good book. Ms. Lyles actually writes about things that you can relate to. Her books are, you know, things that you can relate to as far as being a young man and different aspects in your life. There are things in that book that I'm quite sure you'll say, wow, that sounds like me. Or I know somebody did that, or, you know, but that book, Insane, is a very good book. And also Brown Bag Poetry, that's a hot book.
Yeah, explicit sexual things.
Yeah, so, you know.
I don't cover no, I don't change up the words. I call pussy pussy. I call it dick a penis, whatever. I call it penetrating. I call it what it is.
Right. You know, it's a book for an adult. So, you know, come on and call in. The number is 646-652-2877. You said the third caller or what?
Third.
Okay. All right, y'all. Come on and call in. The third caller is going to get one of those books. And, I know you want it because.
I hope I did your caller.
Huh?
I said, well, how about I act like the third caller?
Well, we do have one caller that just called in, so let's see what's going on. See who this caller is. I think I know who this caller is, but I'm going to bring this caller in. 410-497, good evening.
Hey.
Hey, Jay.
Lady.
How are you, darling?
I am doing wonderful. How are you doing?
We are doing fantastic.
Birthday.
Yes,
yay,
darling.
And this author, Terry Lau, on there as well.
Thank you, sweetie.
Happy birthday, Mama.
Thank you, darling. Yes. Yes, I forgot to ask you, ladies, would you like a Back to Zero martini? It's delicious.
All right.
I didn't hear you say anything, ladies, Miss Lau.
I did.
Of course,
you
man.
Want
I'm
one?
Already drinking. Did you hear the ice?
Oh, you already got yours?
Mouth?
You got yours, Danny?
Got
yeah,
mine,
I got
baby.
Mine.
Oh, okay, now, because I want y'all to drink them back to Zero and spread the word about them Back to Zero martinis, because I had them last week up in my joint, Gail's Blues joint. They was going crazy for them. And I'm going to send you a case of them over to your place, Jade, and I'm also going to send you a case. Oh, well, you don't drink at your place, do you, Terry?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a drinker. I drink.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Well, you can drink the martini, darling, because it's nice. You know, this is a special occasion. Like Smokey said, it's a special occasion. So you go in and drink your little Back to Zero martini down and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're looking for callers that want to receive author Terry Lyle's either one of her 8 books.
Mm. All right.
Yeah, 646-652-2877. And the show, believe it or not, we have a little more than a half hour left on this 2-hour show. Can you believe that, ladies?
Already?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
Time flies.
Yes, it do. When you're having fun, it generally does.
Mm-hmm.
It generally does. You know, but if you call in, you know, call in and hit the 1, that'll indicate to us that your hand is up, and I will bring you on, and you can, you know, get your choice of the book that you want. And that's a good thing, because some authors, they give you the book that they want you to have, like me. Well, sometimes I might let them pick, but, you know, that's a good thing, because author Terry Lyles has 8 books out. And that's a good variety to choose from. And, you know, my suggestion, I'm just saying this, but, you know, you can get whatever book you want, but I would get the Brown Bag, Poetry, and Insane. But I ain't telling you which one to get.
That sounds like a hot book. It does sound like a hot
yeah,
book.
Yeah, Brown Bag, Poetry. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I ain't trying to tell nobody what to do, so I ain't even going to say that. But she has 8 books, and you get to choose whatever book you want. And that's the third call that calls in, 646-652-2877. And we have 35 minutes, 42 seconds to go. So, you know, if you call in, hit the 1, raise your hand, and you can get a book of your choice.
I'm going to have to hang up and call back.
That would be great if you go ahead and hang up, because that means that you would be the second caller. So then when you hang up and you call back, you'll be the second caller, and then I'm going to hang up and call back, and I'll be the third caller.
Really?
So go ahead and hang up, and let me hang up right after you. So go ahead, I'm just waiting on you. You go ahead and hang up, and then, you know, I'll wait on you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that you ladies are having a fabulous day. And I just want to say that I wish y'all many, many more. You know, y'all are really beautiful divas, and y'all are just inspirational to a lot of people. So this is a beautiful day, and I
thank
enjoy
you.
Being
thank
able
you
to
so much.
With
we sure appreciate that.
Right,
yeah,
I really do.
You know,
we
try to
that.
Wisdom, you know, with people, you know, because it doesn't do any good when you get somewhere and you don't reach back, because we
right.
got to reach them back and help somebody else along so they can keep that chain going, because that's how we get through this thing called life, because it's a struggle. We've got to keep helping everybody else, encouraging them to live through their potential and keep it moving.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have to, you know, always be there, you know, to help somebody out, you know, and it's not always about the getting. It's sometimes be about the giving, you know, because when you give, it's going to come back to you, you know, so you don't even have to worry about that, because that's just how it works. But
mm-hmm.
it's always good to give, and, you know, it feels good when you give, too. At least
it
I
does.
Do. I feel
really
good
does.
When,
it
I,
feel, it
when
really
I give.
You, it's a godly part of you. You feel like, wow, I did the right thing. Because we often mess up, you know, and it makes you feel humble when you,
mm-hmm.
when you do something that's good for somebody else.
Right.
Does.
And sometimes
right.
you touch people and don't realize that you have. You know what I mean? There's a lot of
right.
people that you ladies have reached out to and touched in some kind of way, and you probably don't even realize that. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Right. We was just speaking of that. You know, somebody who maybe needed a smile, a kind word or a hug or some advice or, you know, just something, you know, to touch their soul, because you never know what a person is going through. You know, they may, and then some people even, you know, have smiles on their faces when they're really hurting and crying inside.
Absolutely.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, so
mm-hmm.
it's always good to, you know, sometimes you can, sometimes, because I remember one time, I think I was walking through a park, and this young lady, she was sitting on a bench, and she was just crying, and I mean, when she was just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying, and it really, you know, when I see people cry, for some reason, I get teary-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went over, and my kids always tell me, Mom, somebody's going to bust you in your head. But, you know, I just went over to her, and I said, what's the matter? So she cried and cried, and she didn't say anything. So I said, I sat down, and I said, I'm not trying to get in your business or anything like that, but, you know, I was just walking by, and I'm seeing you crying like this, and it really is bothering my heart to see you cry like this. You know what had happened to her?
What?
Hmm.
Her boyfriend had killed her babies.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
her boyfriend.
God.
But mm-hmm. it had happened a few days, but she was just like all distraught. And I said, well, how did he kill them? She said he set them on fire.
Oh my gosh.
Honey, I sat down and both of us was crying. I didn't know this girl from a hole in the wall. And I just reached over and grabbed her and, you know, held her real close to me, and she just cried and cried. We're sitting there crying. And, you know, people walking by, and we're just crying and crying and crying. So when she, you know, when she finished, because I had, you know, sort of like stopped crying, you know, because I was just, I don't know, just comforting her. So when she finally stopped crying, I asked her, you know, what did they do to him? She said he killed himself. He took the coward's way out.
Right.
And that thing, it just, oh my goodness. And so I, you know, I talked with her for a long time, you know, just trying to comfort her. And I gave her my phone number. Needless to say, I didn't hear from her anymore after that. But when I left the park, I did put a smile on her face. Now, I don't know what happened, you know, after that, because, like, I gave her my number and I told her if she ever, you know, wanted to talk to me again, you know, to give me a call. You know, if it was anything that I could do for her, you know, I would help her out the best I could, but I'd never heard from her. But I did get her to smile that day. But when she told me that, I said, oh, Lord have mercy. This is just, whew.
The world we live in, man.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. And people was just walking, you know, through the park, because it was on a summer day, you know, nice, and people just walking through there. You know, they would look at her, you know, real crazy, you know, probably saying to herself, what in the heck is wrong with her? Is she crazy or crying like that? What's her problem? You know, instead of just like I did, you know, and people, like I said, my children tell me all the time, Mom, somebody's going to bust you in the head, because I will approach a person if I see them, you know, needing some type of assistance or if, you know, they're in trouble or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I couldn't walk by her and her crying like that. You know, I could feel her pain, you know.
That's a good woman, Gail.
Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I always wonder what happened to her, you know. But like I said, she never called me. But I was, you know, glad to see her smile when I left that park.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can't, you know, you sometimes you have to, you know, at least say something to a person, you know, what's the matter? Is there anything I can do? Or you need some help, you know, because you don't know. They might just want to talk to you, you know, get something off their chest or, you know, just want you to listen to them, you know, because some people just want you to listen and don't say anything. My daughter tells me about that. She said, Ma, because I'd be telling, you know, giving people advice or whatever. She said, Ma, maybe sometimes they just want to talk, but when they ask me something, I answer it, you know. But, you know, sometimes they just want you to listen, you know. So I'm learning to do that as well, you know, opposed to giving advice, because sometimes people, you know, they listen to your advice, but don't mean they're going to use it. You see what I'm saying? So I listen and, you know, let them vent or, you know, whatever it is they have that's bothering them, you know, to get it off their chest. So... yeah, you have to get involved, you know, because people be going through all kind of things, and I'm just, you know, dying to see how this mess is going to turn out with the government shutdown. Now, y'all know about the girl that was killed down at by the Capitol, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what happened? That was see, the story gets stranger and stranger every time, because I've heard so many different stories. They said that she was down by the White House trying to ram the gate. Now, for real, you can't even get on the street that's in front of the White House because they had these barriers up. But before that, on the news, they said they had heard some gunshots down by the Capitol. And the Capitol is maybe... I would say maybe a mile or a half a mile or something like that from the White House. So anyway, they said that the Capitol Police had chased her from the White House down to around by the Capitol. Now, in the meantime, they was looking for a person who had fired shots down there. This is what was said at first. Mm-hmm. So when she got down there, from what I saw on the television, this is what happened. They had these police, and she had pulled up to this thing that was a barrier. And it was about maybe four or five policemen had surrounded the car, and she backed up and pulled off. Now, they're saying that they didn't know that a baby was in the car. That's what they that's what they said. So in the meantime, that is the first story. So in the meantime, she's driving off. Then you hear all these gunshots. And then they didn't show exactly them shooting the car. And you just heard these gunshots. And then they switched and they had the car was pulled up. And policeman was holding the baby. Here they go on the news talking about, he's holding the baby there. And they don't know where the baby came from. And I'm saying to myself, so you mean to tell me that this policeman is holding this little black baby and they don't know where it came from? Would the baby just walked up on the scene to say, what's going on up here? You know, they had taken the baby out of the back seat, and then they said she didn't have a gun. She didn't have a gun. Then they said that it was a man in the car with her. So what happened to the man? That's the first story. Then what happened to him? He disintegrated. So then what they turned it into, and then... okay, that's the first story. The second story goes basically the same way, but then this time they said that she had gotten out of, they shot her when she got out of the car, because she got out the car to run. And now they're trying to say that the reason why they killed her was because, number one, they didn't find a gun, so they turned it on the fact that her car was a weapon. they had the opportunity when those cops surrounded that car, all the police, they had their guns out and everything, guns drawn. All they had to do was break the glass and, you know, restrain her like that. Or even they could have shot the tires out because there was the girl did not have a gun. Then they're running around saying that she suffered from postpartum depression, schizophrenic, this, that, all this and that. But my thing is, I think some, oh, it's, and on the news they said, this is exactly what they said on the news, that they was looking for somebody that had fired some shots down by the Capitol. And then they said, what was her name? Mamie Curry? Mamie Curry, whatever her name, they said Curry, they said that she had interrupted what they were down there doing.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm.
Right. And so many stories come out that say, they said that she was killed in the car, but they had said she had, the car was stopped. She got out the car and they shot her.
Wow. But you know, sometimes people don't understand in different cultures, people think it's a martyr to give up their life for their cause. You know, people overseas, a Muslim woman can't be seen without her face, you know, covered up, you know, or whatever, you know. So what we call absurd, it could be a cultural thing, but I don't know. So who the
She was a black woman. She wasn't a Muslim or anything. She was a black woman from Connecticut. And she was young. She was 30.
What coming to get the White House then?
You know what? I don't think she was. She number one, how she could even get close. Number one, you cannot drive a car on the street in front of the White House. It's barricades up. You can't even go in front of the White House. You have to go up. I think that's K Street. You have to go up and then come around and go back down because you can't even ride a car on that street. And then a police officer, he ran into a barricade. And they showed him, you know, being taken. But they didn't even show the girl when they got her on. They didn't show any more than after they shot her or whatever. They showed the car stopped and all this. And they didn't show all that. So the media, they do things to pull trickery on people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just like when they was beating Rodney King. Remember when they beat Rodney King and they said that, how they got away with it because they said Rodney King was a threat to them because he was trying to fight them. He was trying to get up and fight them. That man, first of all, he was drunker than four skunks.
He then never got up.
Right, he couldn't get up because they was beating him so bad he was trying to get away. But they showed that tape over and over, and they made people believe because he had all-white jewelry, and they showed the tape, and you know how he had put his hands up to block some of them blows. One lady said, there it is, there you go, that's what he's doing, he's doing it. He was trying to stop them from beating his brains out. But they just take things and twist them and make you think or see things the way you want to see them. But in any event, I think it's a shame that, you know, whatever was going on with that young lady, she came down here and lost her life. I think that's a shame.
Well, that's,
you know,
crazy,
but
that if it's that secure, getting on that street, like you said, you can't even get on there. She had to communicate with somebody in order for somebody to get that close. Like, she had to communicate or talk to somebody for somebody to say okay, or maybe she had to argue with me. I mean, I'm just making assumptions, but I'm just saying, if it's that barricaded and you can't really get on it, like you're saying, some kind of communication that young lady had to have with somebody out there in order for her to even ride on that street or to even get past if a normal person can't. Like, how does she
get
by? Check
this out.
Somebody had to communicate.
Right, check this out. Now, you know they got cameras everywhere. They show no footage, none whatsoever, while she was up there by that White House. They ain't show no footage of that. And they have cameras everywhere. Everywhere they have cameras, because they had cameras down by the Capitol that got all that information, but they have not shown footage yet of her, what they said happened up at the White House.
Oh, that's crazy. That's
set up. Yeah. They ain't show nothing about that. So they could have just, and my thinking is, they looking for somebody to to either arrest or kill because they heard the shots down by the Capitol, and just so happened she came along and she got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That is messed up.
Yeah, and these gun-happy policemen, man, they get on my nerve. I mean, it's just... And then they get away with it. It's always justifiable homicide when a policeman kills a civilian, but you let a civilian kill a police. They'll either catch the person, beat them half to death, and then lock them up forever. That's how they treat somebody who shoots the police. You know, you do anything to the police, you either going to get your brains halfway beaten out of you, or even they killed the guy here that had killed the police officer. He ran over a police officer trying to get away from the police. You know, and I'm not justifying for what he did was right, but what happened was they had beat this boy up so bad before they got him to the precinct because they had captured him. They beat him so bad his mother didn't recognize him. Mm-hmm. Then when they had him locked up, all of a sudden they said they went to his cell and they found him dead. But, you know, that's what they do there. And they get away with it. They get away with murder. The police, I don't like the police, you know, because one time the police had to come to my house one time for my daughter and her friend was in here arguing. Two policemen had my daughter out on the front lawn with their knees in her back. And I opened the door. I said, wait, man. I said, what are you doing? I said, why do you have your knee? He turned around, both of them pointed, get back, pointed their gun at me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, my God. I said, do you have to do that to her? Ma'am, I'm telling you to move back, get back.
Wow.
And see, when something happened to the police, I don't feel sorry for them. I really don't, not unless it's a good police, and you have to count on your hand the good ones. There are some good policemen out there, and I will admit that they are. But, you know, as far as these crooked cops and these cops that are out here gun-happy and these prejudiced cops, these Ku Klux Klan cops and, you know, cops like that, if something happened to them, I don't feel sorry for them. They're getting exactly what they deserve. Because you done killed up everybody in the household. You go up in these drug dealers' houses shooting, and they went into a house and killed the 83-year-old woman. The wrong house they was raiding, right? She's sitting in her house. And, you know, old people, their reflections aren't that good. But I don't know if she had a gun or she was being resistant. But anyway, they killed her. And it was the wrong house. And then they plant drugs on people, guns on people. Oh, my goodness, these policemen are really dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty. But that was a very misfortunate thing. Now that little baby is without a mother.
Right. That's what it said about the whole thing. And they only let the camera see, like they give you an image. They don't show you everything. But then come to find out through her family that she was very ill, you know, and they didn't have to shoot in her car the way that they did. Why not shoot her tires out?
But they could have shot the tires out. But they talking about the car was a weapon. When they had the opportunity to get her out of that car, all they had to do was break the glass. They had their guns drawn. But she backed up, and she probably was afraid because when you're in a situation, you're schizophrenic, and all you're thinking is she probably looked at them and saw monsters. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And probably just said, oh, my goodness, I got to get away from them. You know, I don't want them to hurt me and my baby. You know, they don't know what was going on in her head.
Right.
But nobody knows now because she's just gone, and I just feel so sorry for the baby and, you know, sorry that happened to her and her family's grieving and, you know, all that stuff could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
It's these gun-happy police. All right, everybody, I'm telling you, you better call in. We got 14 minutes. The number is 646-652-2877. Author is Terry Lyles is giving away one of her books. She has 8 books. 8 for you to choose from. And you got 14 minutes. 40 seconds to call in. That number again is 646-652-2877. So, Miss J, I'm
getting ready to find a house phone. I'm about to call in. I'm about to prank call you like one time, and then I'm going to call back again.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. Well, there's nobody calling in. I don't know where everybody's at. But,
I know, that's so crazy.
Yeah. Y'all better call in, because if somebody say the word free, I'm there.
Right.
Believe me.
Man, I bet you you told me you were giving away free WIC and food stamps. Somebody to call in.
I know that's
right.
You
I'm
are not lying
away,
there.
You giving away government money. I bet you somebody will call in.
Mm-hmm.
Your lines will be flooded with people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just don't understand people sometimes. I really don't, but
you get. I think that what happens with us on the radio shows is that we get those spurts. You know, one minute you'll have somebody calling in, and you got a couple of people calling in back to back, and then the next time it'll be like nobody's calling in, and that's when you expect the caller to call in.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I sure did.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, and so you're saying that when they call in, they could be faking where they're calling from, and you can't close them off?
No, when they call in, I see the number generally they call in. I can see the number they're calling up from, and you know, just bring them in and ask them, you know, their name and where they're calling from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not unless they block their number out. But, yeah. No one's called in. But, Jade, let everybody know what you do.
I have a radio show as well called Erotic Talk Radio. And my radio show is open on Thursdays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern. And on Saturdays, I have something called the G-Spot Love Zone, where I do musical. And I'm going to also be doing a little bit of erotic poetry and stories on the 19th. So Miss Delicious kind of encouraged that with something that she had on her show called Erotic Expression. I thought that was so beautiful. So I wanted to share the platform with those, because I do erotic greeting cards and I do erotic poetry. So I figured, oh, why not, you know, have that that moment to, you know, share the floor, have some beautiful music, some sensual drinks, and some poets and those short erotic story divas come on and share the platform and just entertain our listeners. And so, that's what I do. And if you have any problems with your relationship or whatever, give us a still ring. You know, call me, reach out.
Right, and tell them what else you do as well. You also enhance people's relationships.
Yeah, so I do workshops. I do one-on-one coaching. I'm a relationship love coach and sexologist, so I just try to get you in the sensual and just have you embrace yourself, your sexuality and your sensuality and better communicate and ask for what you want, because I think that's so important, because communication is sometimes terrible in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come out and
that's
be
true.
Real. It's just bad and we need to learn to just express ourselves and say, this is what I want. I think that sometimes what kind of taints a relationship is when you limit yourself for fear of what that person may think of you, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to tell your man what you want.
Yes,
you
and
want to go down on you.
Is my co-host, and I gotta put that out there. I'm loving her. She is my co-host, and she really brings out
you know, she just has a demeanor about her on how she sends her message, and that's what I really love as well, you know.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah. You are so welcome.
I'm going to have to call in one day with my little problem.
Yes. Yes. I have people who even will message me privately. And so what I've been doing on the news, on the show that I've been doing on Saturdays, is I just will stay with that person, you know, it is private. I don't call out the person's name. But I just will read their message and then just give them a short tidbit of, you know, what they should do, from a short advice on air. Or I'll just do a
right.
one-on-one thing, yeah. And it's real
yeah.
nice. People trying to like it, yeah.
Right. Tell them about your group page as well. Did you tell them about that?
Yeah, you want to just visit Erotic Talk Radio. Just go on Facebook and look for Erotic Talk Radio. And get in on some of the juicy topics that we have. I mean, you know, there's people that just post their own questions out there and just be like, you know, what would you do with this? And, you know, what is y'all thoughts on that? And everybody gets in on it. It's fun. It's really fun. And it's respectful. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of times people think that when you're talking sexual or anything explicit that it's not juicy. And our group is respectful and juicy and just, you know, we entertain, but we, yes, it's for adults. We entertain, but it's not graphic. Like, it's not, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. You know, some places you see, like, the porn pictures and all that stuff, and we're not about that. We just have a really good conversation, and that's what I like about the group. And everyone
right.
respects each other. That's important.
Okay, Miss Terry.
Yes, baby, I'm here. Well,
yesterday
I had this new artist named Natrell. He shot a video here in my home, and he's going to do another part Friday and complete the video. He has one video out called Sucking by Love, and naturally, of course, while they were shooting the video, the scene in front of the fireplace, I said, put my book and thing down there. Get a shot of that, you know.
All right. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, October 18th, I'm going to be a vendor for Columbus Hospice Christmas Bazaar. So come on out and buy a book, buy some church fans, and have some conversation in Columbus, Georgia. And on the 26th, I'll be going to a gospel fest, and I'll be a speaker there. They want me to read a poem, so I'll just be making one up on the spot. But you can get a hold of me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google, Yahoo. You know, I'm all over the place. And send me a message. Go to my website at www.terrylyle.com. Don't forget to sign a guest book on the home page. I appreciate that. You know, call a sister, 443-956-8753, because I also host a radio segment called Author's Corners every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time via WMEL 104.1 DJ Mel Entertainment Radio, where we have a platform to tell the truth and speak your mind. You're not censored. Do your thing. Let's just kick it like we're buddies sitting there on a round table having some fun. And you know, when you come on the show, you're always welcome to come back, because I keep it live and in your face. And just how I do it, you know. Other than that, I'm somewhere in Alabama at an unspoken location, just chilling out here with Bambi and all these other little wild animals out here by myself. But I got a gun. They get too wild, try to come here. I got pow, pow for your ass.
I know that's right. I love her.
Oh, my goodness. I'm crazy. I'm off the hook, man.
Oh, okay. Well, for a moment, I was disconnected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but, you know, a thing came up and said that I wasn't connected, so I had to call back in. Yeah, but
Well, we kept it moving. We kept it going.
Yeah, no problem. So, Danny?
Right now,
The only thing I'm working on, I just signed on with a new production company, and I am doing a Munch the Mouth series, a reality show of Munch the Mouth, the porn star. So,
wonderful.
I'm on that, or a reality show. And yesterday I just filmed two comedy skits for a young guy. That's on YouTube. You can look it up. It's called The Jack Martin Show. He has done a couple of skits, little comedy skits that he does. And I just shot two scenes for his upcoming project he has going on. And right now that's about it for me.
That's the Jack Martin Show?
Yeah, if you look it up on YouTube, it's called The Jack Martin Show, and you can get a feel of what kind of comedy he does. And yesterday I did a skit called The Things Women Do Wrong in Bed. We did that yesterday.
Okay, well, everybody hear that? Check that out. That's Danny on The Jack Martin Show on YouTube. Check that out. You know.
Yes, and my project should be coming out in Christmas. I'm hoping that the DVD, whatever, is coming out. But we will be shooting, trailers of the Munch the Mouth reality show. We'll be shooting trailers this month in November, and the first DVD should be coming out around Christmas time. So that's what I'm working on.
Okay, so it's going to be on DVD. It's not going to be on the network or anything. Just going to go on DVD.
We're working on trying to get it on demand and on pay-per-view and Netflix right now. So we're working on that right now.
So we all filming in Maryland.
Keep us informed of that.
I sure will. What'd you say, Miss Terry?
So where y'all filming at, in the Maryland, D.C. area?
Oh, no, I'm in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful, sis, you know. Hell, maybe I'll get you back on my show, and we can talk some trash and talk about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I know that's
right. For real, I
love her show. She is funny.
Yeah, and you'll have a ball over there with Terry, girl, because she keeps it live.
Thank you, lady.
All the way live.
She'll have her sound engineer a little nervous there for a moment and shot mouth locked open and everything.
Yeah, I heard that show. He said, Terry,
Terry, what did you do to her? I've never heard her talk like that.
Wow.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah. Well, ladies, we've come to the end of the show, and, you know, Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and our subject matter is sexual, but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life, like we did about the thing down at the Capitol, and we appreciate, you know, our listening audience for your questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or to either of my co-hosts. That's Rhea at riaalexis@yahoo.com. That's riaalexis@yahoo.com. Danny at munchdemouth. That's munchdemouth@gmail.com. Now, I don't know about Mr. B because he's a drop-in co-host, but I'm going to, you know, just leave him on the back burner for a minute. But he comes when he gets a chance to because he's, you know, working with a production company, you know. And when you send that email in the subject line, type topic or guest. You know, we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half. And if the topics are juicy, we'd be up in here for 2 hours. Of adult conversation. And tune in every first Friday that'll start in January at 11 p.m. for Open Topic, and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for my musical show, which is Slow Jams or House Music or Happy Hour. You know, I play music from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, you know, at 7 p.m., stop by Gail's Blues Joints for some blues and sassy music. And remember, Bringing Sexy Back does not mean you lost your sexy. Bringing Sexy Back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. I want to thank you, Danny, for, you know, being my co-host tonight, as usual. And thank you, Terry, for calling in, Jade for calling in, and people who are out there are listening. Thank you for listening. You know, I really do appreciate that because you could have been anywhere doing whatever, but you was right here listening through the computer, your iPhone, iPad, or whatever means you had to listen to this show.
and hopefully you all enjoyed yourself, because we certainly did. You know, we really had a ball. I had a good time, you know, talking, you know, giving you a little bit about me. And in case some of you don't know, I'm an author, poet, speaker, publisher, and a ghostwriter. And I have written 5 books, and I published my last book myself through my company. So if anybody's out there looking for a publisher or a ghostwriter, you know, you can hit me up on that same email address that I just, you know, put out there. And, you know, everybody have a beautiful rest of the week. This is over the hump day, and oh, it's Thursday. Yes. Yeah.
It's Thursday.
One more day to go. Yeah, so mm-hmm. everybody hang in there, you know, and prayers going up for people who need them, and, you know, people who don't need them, you know, still pray and, you know, keep God in your life and, you know, try to treat people the way you want to be treated, and sometimes you still got to treat them good regardless of how they treat you, but, you know, just do what you got to do and maintain and love yourself. And I want to say thank you again, and it's my birthday. It's my birthday. And now, hey, today is the 10th. Now it's Terry's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, darling.
Happy birthday, Terry.
Happy birthday. Yes, ma'am. 1 more year older. You know, and it's such a blessing, you know, that I've lived for 64 years. And that's not a lot of years, but it's a lot to me. Because, like mm-hmm. I said, a lot of my friends are no longer here. You know, they're sick and this and that. So I am so grateful to have made it to 64 years. I hope I can make it to maybe 164, you know. As long as I can take care of myself and I'm in, you know, decent health. You know, I don't want to just exist. I want to live those years. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So God willing, hopefully I will. And I love you guys, and I appreciate each and every one of you. And I want to say at this time.
We love you, too.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to say at this time, good night, stay sexy, smooches.
Smooches.
My Nala got the best radio show on the Internet.